Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
This is a product of WBNN. This is the Casual Chat with Ava Holly. We are on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, and you can call in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Welcome, everybody. I'm Ava Holly. For those of you that don't know me, let me just give you a brief background. I've been in radio since my college days at Penn State. Trust me, that was a long time ago. I'm a singer-songwriter, international blogger, now international radio host, author, designer, and founder of 4A Star Entertainment, where we host and plan your events. We have cool things moving forward, including our charitable Ava's Eye Bags, and more to come as we close out the summer and get ready for the fall. So welcome to the WBNN, and we're going to have some interesting conversation tonight as we talk about dance through the ages, and we talk with artistic director of the Atlantic City Ballet, Phyllis Papa, the iconic Atlantic City Ballet. So welcome, Miss Phyllis Papa, to the WBNN. So happy to have you here tonight.
Hi, Ava. Thank you so much for having me. I hope
Yes, hear you perfectly. It's great to have you on, and I'm so excited to talk about the ballet and what's going on with the ballet as you approach your 40th year. Now, Phyllis is not only the founder of the Atlantic City Ballet, however, she is the artistic director, and they are heading into their 40th year. So now I've been involved with the ballet for a couple of years now, yet I would like to hear from you how it all got started. How did you wind up, you know, starting out in AC and becoming who you are, and how, you know, how it relates to who you are today? But how did it all get started?
Well, it's funny because when I was with Stars of American Ballet, on our tour, we had a 9-week tour, and our first stop was Stockton College. Well, now it's Stockton University. And I performed at that stage with Stars of American Ballet, and I said, oh, my God, I never want to come back to this place again, because it seems so odd as a performer to be looking up at the audience, never to realize that I was going to end up here and perform there for the last 40 years. But anyway, it was funny because Resorts was the first casino to open. And Steve Norton's wife loved ballet. She happened to see me dance in New York. And she asked me if I would be interested in starting my own ballet company. Well, I had this dream from the time I was 11 years old that I wanted to have my own ballet company. In fact, I remember exactly when it happened. I was at 59th Street subway stop, and I was thinking, I really want my own ballet company, but I don't know. And I was 12 years old, by the way. I don't know how I'm going to do this because I don't know anything about it. So anyway, she asked me, and I thought, well, this has always been my dream. Why not? So the company I was with happened to perform in Atlantic City at Resorts. So she saw me there, and she said, I think I could get funding for you. You could maybe apply for a CETA grant. And so I did. And at the moment that I did that, I had 11 other dancers that were interested in maybe going with me and starting a company in Atlantic City. And at that time, you know, Atlantic City was hot because it was great things that were supposed to happen in Atlantic City at that time. A lot of things were happening in Atlantic City at that time. So I had recently gotten married, and I was living in Princeton. So I was coming into Atlantic City at least 2 times a month trying to talk to the people at CETA to see if I could get this grant. And they kind of strung me along for like 6 months. And I was thinking, this is never going to happen. And I had the dancers in place. I had a total of 6 females, including me as one, and then 6 males because I was dancing at the time. And they kept calling and saying, when are we starting? When are we starting? When are we starting? And it was just so heartbreaking to keep saying to them, I don't know anything yet. I don't know anything yet. So finally, okay, that was through the summer into the fall. I'm traveling back and trying to make this thing happen. And it was in November that I got the notice that we had gotten a $150,000 grant to start a ballet company in Atlantic City. And the reason was that there was zero art in Atlantic City and resorts, and also the city of Atlantic City wanted to see art there. So I got the grant. Now, here's the interesting thing, is that we started in December. Everybody's excited. I brought the 11 dancers from New York, from where, you know, we were all performing. And we started the first month. We got paid. And then in January, Reagan got into office, and we lost the grant. So our starts were not that great. So a lot of the dancers said, I said to them, actually, how about staying on, and we do performances, and whatever we make, we split 12 ways. Well, that worked for a little while, you know, maybe into the spring. But then the dancers, you know, parted ways. So that company actually dissolved, and it was called the Atlantic City Ballet, actually dissolved. And I was left really hanging, holding the bag and hoping I could get other dancers. In the meantime, I started a school in Northfield and started training apprentices and dancers. And I said, would you like to be part of the company? So that apprentice group became the company in 1982. This was actually the first part of it was before 1982. And so we started with the apprentice group as the company in 1982. And we were rehearsing the first group in December. That whole group was at the World War Memorial Building, right where Showboat is right now. And then they tore that building down. We had to get out of there. And so in 1982, when I formed this company, we ended up at ACCC. And that was our home base, the college. And they let us have the stage to perform on, to rehearse on. We were there every day. So it was, you know, we had our ups and downs, but it wasn't an easy start, by no means. It wasn't easy. It was just kind of meant to be that we were going to do it. We were really financially on a shoestring, pretty much.
Right.
I mean, I didn't get paid. The person who was in the office with me did not get paid. We tried to pay the dancers when we had performance. So it was very interesting, not glamorous at all.
So for those of you listening from afar, ACCC is our community college. It's Atlantic. Well, at that time, it was Atlantic Community College. Now it's Atlantic Cape Community College. And we also had Stockton College, which is now Stockton University, as Phyllis said. And they're trying to become like, or they are becoming, a college town, sort of like Penn State did. I mean, the whole town has various, you know, things relating back to Stockton and what Stockton is doing in the community. And now you're even bringing your company to Stockton to dance on their stages for Christmas time.
Yes. What's very interesting is when Stockton had heard that I was at Atlantic Community College, they were jealous, and they wanted to bring us into Stockton. So they actually brought me into Stockton. At that time, the stage at Stockton, and that was the same stage I danced with at Stars American Ballet that I said, I'm never going back. The stage actually had an elevator, and it went up to the audience at the time, part of it. And I had actually done a lecture there to the people in the university there, and the stage rised up to where the audience is and went back down. Very interesting. And then in years' time, it broke, and it wouldn't do that anymore. But they did Loris to Stockton. At that time, it was called Stockton College. Now it's Stockton University. And so we did Nutcracker there for every year, every single year. We're still doing it. So they
Nutcracker's one of the iconic shows.
And they enjoy having it there. They do very well there. Most of the time when we go there, we have supported their entire arts program because we brought in more money through Nutcracker for them. And they were able to bring in other dance companies and other Shakespearean plays and things like that, basically because we were there.
Wow, that's amazing. So fast forward a little bit. So, you know, you got the ballet company started, and how did it form through the ages to where you are now? Because everybody knows you in the ballet. Well, everybody in town that matters, you know, there are still local people and, you know, regular layman people, if you want to call it that, that don't even know there is a ballet. So I want you to tell us a little bit about, you know, how it progressed.
Well, when we first started, we did a lot of performances in resorts where Lillian Norton had brought us in. And then it was funny because we had Claridge Casino, which was a casino at that time. They decided that they would try to help us get our first Nutcracker up and going. And Baltimore Ballet had a fire. And they didn't want any of the costumes or any of the sets that they had because of the fire. Claridge gave me the money to go to Baltimore and buy the set pieces and the costumes so I could do my first ballet. Now, those costumes are not in existence anymore, but there is one prop that's still from the Baltimore Ballet, and that's the cannon and Nutcracker, which is so fantastic. So in those early days, Tropicana, we performed at Tropicana every other Sunday for a whole year. We did five different programs every season. Every 3 months was a different program. Claridge helped us get our first Nutcracker. Bally's, and a lot of the casinos, Harris, they supported us in a lot of ways. And then something changed. There was a new regime that came in that said, oh, the people who go to the ballet, they don't gamble. And so after that, we were not able, that wonderful thing that we were doing, so many performances in the casino and everywhere else, actually dried up. And that's when we actually started doing more performances at Atlantic Community College and outside the area instead of inside the area. Stockton, we did a lot at Stockton. We did a lot at Atlantic Community College. Really, those two theaters were the ones that we were basically in the early days performing in.
Wow.
So the casinos kind of closed up to us. It was like a different mentality, a different regime that went in there. And, you know, it's a shame because I'm, you know, now it's changing because now they're interested. But in those early formation days, it was the colleges that kept us alive more than, you know, the casinos that we had here.
Well, hold that thought because we're gonna move up the timeline a little bit. But right now we're going to get to a track. So stay tuned for more about how the advancement of the ballet changes Atlantic City. So next we have a track by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, the one and only Brother O.
Don't think
I gotta love the police. Welcome back to the Casual Chat. I'm Ava Holly. Call us and join the conversation at 516-453-9133 and be sure to press 1. So welcome back. We are talking dance with the Atlantic City Ballet Artistic Director and Founder, Phyllis Papa. And shout out to Brother O for the amazing tracks of the police tonight. So Phyllis, so we're talking about where you got started, how you got started in AC, and now we're kind of moving up the timeline a little bit. So what happens next? Now you're performing at the colleges, a new regime has taken over, and not so much thinking that the ballet is good for the city. So what happens to change that again? Are you there? Oh, I think we got lost.
Oh.
Oh, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Could you, I don't know if you heard what I asked you. So we're moving up the timeline.
Yeah.
So Atlantic City kind of thinks the ballet is not really great for the city as far as bringing in customers. So what happens to change that back around again?
Well, we started doing a lot of performances in Gardner's Inn in the summer and also Kennedy Plaza. And during that time, I had bought a property in Egg Harbor City on Moss Mill Road. And that property, what really helped the company was I was able to house 26 dancers in that property. And
wow.
That property, yeah, it's a lot. The property had a big studio. I had put in an Olympic-sized pool. So I was training dancers and doing the company out of that building where they would be able to dance, you know, from early morning to late at night. And then I would also give them a nutrition program, and the pool was there for them. We used to do ballet in the pool and stuff like that. So in those years, we started going to New York. We performed in New York City. In Long Island, we were touring more. We did all the way up and down the East Coast to Georgia and back. We did all the booking conventions that were in New York every year, APAP, and also Philadelphia. And so by doing that and keeping it alive, we started getting recognized. Finally, we got our first state grant, which was good. And still we
cool.
weren't really in Atlantic City except the summer, like on the outdoor stages. Instead,
well, think about that for a minute. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say we have a caller on the line, so hold that thought and, you know, tell us, you know, think about what you think the turning point was that Atlantic City started getting interested again. So hang on, let's take our first caller. Hello, caller, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Abe, it's Jerry, honey. Jerry Petito here.
Jerry Petito, International Internet Radio Hall of Famer and good friend.
How are you?
How are you, darling?
I'm good. I want to say hello to you, of course, but I want to say hello to your guests because this is so cool for me, and when she hears why I'm saying that, she'll get it. So my daughter, sister with her dad, we're divorced, and we're all very close. My daughter's sister, Taylor Simcoe, is a Rockette, and she's actually one of the top Rockettes. She's been with them for years and years. She's always on the buses, on the billboards, Taylor Simcoe, and so I love all this. So listening to this
you
is
told
so
me
cool
that. I
for
forgot.
Me. Yeah, this is so cool for me.
Yeah, I forgot. That's crazy. Yeah, wow. How long has she been with the Rockettes?
Well, she's young, but she's been with them for probably now, gosh, it's got to be at least 6 years.
Oh, wow.
6 or 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, that's,
awesome.
That's very interesting because my mother was also a dancer. And she actually trained me to be a Rockette, not a ballet dancer, which is very funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, I have Judy Ludovico. She's with the, she does a lot with the Rockettes. She used to be on our board, and a lot of my dancers have done the Rockette camp in the summertime. So it's really funny because I was really trained to be a Rockette, not a ballet dancer in my early, early years. It wasn't
that
until
is,
I was, I know, it wasn't until I was 11 years old that I said, Mom, I want to be a ballet dancer. And I think her heart dropped to the floor because she wanted me to tap and jazz and, you know, she wanted me to be a Rockette.
That is so
Jerry.
Cool.
Jerry,
yeah.
Going back to that spider web of connections, like Phyllis said, this all started with resorts, and now we're going to be at resorts for the kickoffs of the 40th year, so we'll talk about that in a little bit also. So thank you, Jerry, for calling in. It's always a blessing to have you call in. We love you.
I want to tell everybody who my next guest is going to be. This is really cool.
Yes,
you'll
please.
All love this, okay?
Yes.
I have to. I'm like on cloud nine. I can't stop thinking about how great this show is going to be. So I was last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, so 4 weeks from this past Tuesday, not this week, last week, two Tuesdays ago.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 weeks from there, my show is going to be Benedito King, Benny King's son.
That is so amazing. So amazing.
Okay.
I called in on your show last week, and your guest was amazing. So that's great. We got to tune in 4 weeks from last Tuesday to the Jerry Petito Show.
Thank you, ladies. And again, you're really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Talk to you again soon. And thank you for calling in. Phyllis, before we get back to you, we have another track coming up by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, the one and only Brother O.
It's the same old thing as yesterday.
Thank you, Brother O, for the beautiful track by The Police this evening. Again, we are here at the WBNN with Phyllis Papa, founder and artistic director of the iconic Atlantic City Ballet. So, Phyllis, so let's go back to our train of thought from a few minutes ago. What do you think changed in the new regime, so to say, newer regime, that the interest is buzzing again for the ballet? I think the pandemic had a lot to do with it too, yet I know there were things going on before that, and then that changed things. And so now what do you think has changed it again?
I think the most important thing, especially since in those early years, we were basically doing, of course, every year Nutcracker and then a big spring show. So it wasn't kind of a full-time company until 2005. In 2005, it became more of an everyday company. And what put us really on track was being able to come back into the city. That's what really changed us. When we got the Boardwalk Hall residency in 2014, that's when the ballet company started turning around. And we were performing a lot at that time at the Claridge Hotel. And so that was our theater that we could actually do, you know, a performance, a different performance every month through the year. And at that time, we were doing 9 different performances. Yeah, that's quite a bit, because most professional companies only do like 4. And here we're doing 9 every year. And, you know, we were at Claridge before, let's see, I guess we were there 5 years. And then the turnaround, real turnaround came when we were able to start performing at Caesars. And I remember when I went into the theater, I was with Claire, one of our board members, and Pat Capaldi. And I'm looking at the theater. I was in there with them. We had to go in there for some reason. I don't remember even what, probably some fundraising event. And I saw the theater and I said, really, this is the elegant theater of the city where the ballet needs to be. There are no tables where you're looking from the side and waitresses are going back and forth to, you know, block your view. This looks like a real theater, and this looks like a place that the ballet or the symphony or the opera should be. And so I had my heart on that. And I remember Pat Capaldi saying to me, no way, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. And I was just persistent. I just had it that that's the place the ballet needs to be. And it turned out that that really helped us, even though it was expensive for us at the time. I mean, we really took a leap of faith to say, okay, we're going to try this out. And, but, you know, I think it changed the people who came to see it in a different view. Oh, this is a real theater. Oh, this is a real ballet company. And that's what we're getting now, is we're getting people who say, okay, I'm going to be there. What's your schedule like? All right. And I get that in my building where I am. They're saying, I'm coming, you know, just one of these months, I'm coming. And they do come, and they're happy and they feel it's like a little pearl in the city that no one knew about somehow. How we existed all these years and no one knew it. But basically, we just didn't have the marketing money to, you know, put out there. And so even though we had billboards on the boardwalk and from time to time we had a billboard, it's still, you know, difficult to get the word out, especially because we're so, you know, there's so many people in the city that come in and out, and, you know, so they're here for the wonderful boardwalk and beach we have and the wonderful restaurants we have, and then they go back to their city. But the locals now are starting to see that, you know, we can be proud of the arts here because we have the arts here. So they're starting to get it.
Yeah. Well, hang on a minute. We have Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. We always get those afterthoughts.
So
hold on 1 second. We have a caller on waiting to come on, but let's get them on and we'll go back to this conversation. So caller two, hello, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Ava. This is Mo Garman calling out of Philadelphia.
Hi, Mo Garman. How are you, darling?
I am doing great. I'm really enjoying your show, and I especially love your guest talking about the ballet. My goodness, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. Mo is another WBNN host. Mo, when's your show?
My show is August 12th on WBNN, and we're going to be talking about the dynamics of domestic violence and healing.
Yeah, so many controversial issues. You know, it's crazy, but they have to be brought to light or nobody knows, you know?
Exactly.
So anything else you'd like to say to our guest?
No, I'm enjoying hearing about the evolution of ballet in Atlantic City. It's wonderful.
Yes,
I want to sit back and enjoy your topic. It's just nice hearing about it because you don't hear in the culture of events going on in Atlantic City.
Well, thank you, Mo. Thank you so much for calling in. Be sure to tune in to her show on August 12th. And thank you again. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
So Phyllis, so now they're getting the attention again, and Mo brought up a topic, and I want to just touch on this for a minute, talking about domestic violence, and I was calling into Dr. Chinchilla's show the other night, and we were also talking about, wrongful incarcerations, prejudices through Sesame Place and all kinds of different things of that nature. And I brought up the story of how you almost lost this company and this thing that you founded 40 years ago due to a manipulation that nobody saw coming. So I was bringing it up on her show to talk about, you know, keeping our eyes wide open, making sure that we talk about things that are sometimes uncomfortable. So we're going to get back to what we were talking about a minute ago, but for right now, I want to ask you, how did you feel when you thought this whole thing that you've spent 40 years working on was going to fall through your fingers because of a manipulation that no one saw coming? How did that make you feel?
Well, had in the back of my mind that this could possibly happen because it's a nonprofit organization, and a lot of founders in the past, especially in the dance world, have lost their companies. And the sad thing is when you bring a company into existence, it's like having a child. So what happened where I almost lost the company was almost like my child had died. And at first it was shocking, and it was, how do I deal with this all these years? And it's not just all these years. How much time, you know, 60 hours a week, putting everything into it, having that above everything else in your life. And for me, it was, I gave financially. I put it in before my family at times. I did every avenue of it without any pay. For years I didn't get a salary. So this mm-hmm. was like, it was like my heart and soul was in it. Money had no issue. That didn't even enter my mind. It was whatever needed to be done, I was there. To the point where I made the costumes. I did the lighting. I drove the truck. On tour in Georgia, I drove the vans on tour, one van, because there was two vans for us. So you put everything into it. And then somebody just one day decides to take it away, just like that, and convinces everybody around you that that should happen. And so you feel first like you lost your child. Secondly, like, well, all that I did, you know, like life isn't fair. And I remember saying to my kids, you know, life isn't fair. So don't think it is because it isn't. And then it hits you, you know, and it's devastating. I mean, it's like you have to, at a split moment, you think you have to change your whole life and you don't know what to do. And it's hard to function thinking that everything you put into it just disappeared like a puff of smoke. You know,
I know over the past 2 years, especially the past year, the ballet took a big, big financial hit because of some of the actions that were taken by the manipulative process that was going on. Yet with God, all things are good. You know, we were able to get through that and over that. And so thank you for sharing that with us. So we're going to go back a little bit. Let's get into another track, and then we'll come back and talk about what's going on now with the ballet going into its 40th year. So let's get to a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O. Well, 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 the police, every little thing she does is magic. I love that. Thank you, Brother O. Welcome back to the Casual Chat. I'm Ava Holly. And before we get director and founder of the Atlantic City Ballet, we have another caller in queue. So caller number 3, tell us who you are. Where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Clever One, one half of the Booz Brothers, calling from the Broad Street.
Oh,
Bullshot.
I love you. I heard you on the show the other night. I love you.
Yo, I had to tap in, you know what I'm saying? And I'm loving this one right here, you know what I'm saying? And first and foremost, you know what I'm saying, I'm one that can appreciate, you know, the ballet. I grew up with a lot of the young ladies, you know, coming up in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? The ladies would do the ballet. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Holly Wright, you know, doing her thing on Broadway, you know what I'm saying? And shout out to her little sister, Teresa Pellicotta, you know what I'm saying, who was involved in the Rockettes as well, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Those ladies there, you know what I'm saying? Do your thing out there, you know what I mean? If these reach you, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, to all of, you know, the young ladies, you know, who can step and things like that, you know, I would recommend you to get your exercise first, you know, stay in shape, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You know, you look good, y'all divas and everything out here, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a good thing. And then it's an activity, you know what I'm saying? You get to, you know, competitively do, you know, it's teamwork competitiveness, you know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
So you know, some of the young ladies and stuff like that, or even some of the older moms, the America's Next Top Moms, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you might want to get out there and start stepping it and keeping it in shape and keeping it tight. So, you know, these are things that I will recommend and encourage the women to do, and, you know, especially the talented ones who can get aerial with it and stuff like that, you know, all these mm-hmm. crazy spins and flips and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we want to see a little bit more of that from the women, you know what I mean? That's what we like to see from the women, you know what I mean? You know, we don't mind you getting on a ladder, but, you know, we prefer to, you know, the ballet slippers, you know what I mean? How's that? You know what I'm saying? But I'm Clever One half of the Booze Brothers. You know what I'm saying? We out here trying to take back the wilderness. We build the bricks up and stand the sticks up. Check your satellites.
Thank you, Clev, for calling in. When is your show, sweetheart? Nope. I guess he's out. We'll check him out. Clever One, half of the Booze Brothers. And we have another caller in queue. So caller 4, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, peace. How you doing, Ava?
Hi, is it Huni?
Yes, it is. Huni Bakatun, also known as the Magic Man, listening to the show. It's always enjoyable. Your shows keep getting greater.
Thank you so much. We love you.
I love you too. You've always been a supporter of me, especially since you've been here, and you're supporting and really, really putting in some serious work. So I just want to say thank you. But look, honest to your very special honored guest, thank you so much for putting in some serious work. Okay, that's exactly what we need.
Thank you.
Huni, you are also a International Internet Radio Hall of Famer, am I correct? With 82 all-time connection records, am I right?
Yes, you are. sometimes I challenge a recording, recalling how it's 5 years in counting and just Ava. I've been on a serious ministry for not so much to teach them or to tell them the thing, but just to encourage two things. Because once you stop thinking, it's a wrap. Okay?
Yeah.
I definitely want to. Before I got some great. You ready? All right.
Yeah, she's ready.
Ava Holly on your WBNN All Times Connection.
No. You know what? You're fading in and out. You know, Huni Bakatun
called
that Bluetooth.
Yeah, fading in and out. I can't hear you.
And yeah, we want. I don't know what you're talking about. So So you know, cut the Bluetooth off and come on a regular phone, and let's hear what you have to say. All right. Waiting for him.
All right, brother O. Is he coming back?
I don't know.
All righty, then. All right.
Come on, honey. Are you there? Nope. Well, what he was trying to say was, it's all right. Congratulations to Ava Holly on your WBNN all-time connection record, which is second all-time with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship. Wow.
That's amazing. Phyllis, you did that.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening to all of you.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much for that, Brother O. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
So are we going back to Phyllis now or waiting for Hooney?
No. I already said what I had to say. It's all good. But, however,
That's amazing.
Listen, I have a special song for you. I have a special song for you and your wonderful guest, Phyllis. What more can we say tonight? An outstanding show. Ava, it's wonderful to have, you know, hosts that, you know, get to that plateau of having the Darlene Lawrence Championship. And I really, really appreciate you for being, you know, patient enough to understand what WBNN is all about. You ready for both you and Phyllis's outstanding dedication?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Yes.
Let's get it, y'all. Spirits in.
Welcome back to the WBNN. This is a casual chat. I'm Ava Holly. Thank you, Brother O, for that. And thank you so much for welcoming me into the WBNN family, and I'm so honored to have another connection record. That's amazing. So we have another caller online before we get back to Phyllis. So who are you? Where are you calling from?
Ava, this is Terrence Frank. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, Terrence, how are you, honey?
I'm doing great. Listen, I want to congratulate you on your connection record.
Thank
you. Moving right along. I'm really enjoying the show with your guest. Her story of perseverance and courage is an outstanding story, and I'm really enjoying this interview.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. When is your show, honey?
I'm not sure. My show was just on last night, 4 weeks from last night. I don't know what that date is.
So 4 weeks from yesterday, right?
Yes. It was just on last night.
Awesome. I think, you're right before me, I think. So that's cool to know. And thank you so much for calling in. I love your shows as well, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. So, Phyllis, so as we're coming to a bit of a close, tell us what's going on now that you're entering the 40th year. I know there's a big gala coming up in December, yet there is a kickoff coming up in September. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about that kickoff, because that's going to be right back where you started at Resorts.
I know. It's very, very exciting that it happens to be at Resorts, but it's September the 18th. It's going to be a brunch, but what's very interesting about this is that we're going to have artists, visual artists, selling their wares, and they actually are going to donate a painting or something that has, or a picture or a piece of photography they're donating to the ballet, but then they're able to sell their own pieces also. We will also be showing the dancers in the company, and what I failed to say on the show is that our dancers come from all over the world. They come from
Asia,
Europe, South
America. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, yes.
Yeah, all over, and the United States. So the wonderful thing is we're going to show what we're presenting this year. So, for example, we're going to do a little bit of Dracula, a little bit of Shore Holiday, a little bit of Nutcracker, Midsummer, Carmen, and we're just going to splatter it in there. So the people who come to the event, which is a fundraising event, can see the dance, they see artists. So it's going to be like a heaven full of artists there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, we have live music. We're going to have a violinist and a piano player. And so, you know, it's really, we're encompassing everything with the art. So it should be a great event, and that's going to be the kickoff of our season, our 40th anniversary. We hope to get all the alumni that have ever been with us in touch with and come back for the gala, which will be in December. So it's going to be just a fun year for us. And I think the board and everyone is so excited.
Yeah, this is going to be like a little teaser, but let me just say that they're getting unlimited champagne and mimosas, brunch, two tickets to an upcoming ballet performance, and a chance to see some beautiful artwork in many mixed media types of forms, paintings, pictures, you know, whatever an artist wants to show. So that's going to be really cool. And if anybody out there is interested or wants information on that, you could reach out to Phyllis directly. And we have another caller in queue, so we'll get to the caller, and then Phyllis will get some information of how people could reach you to either chat more about the ballet or talk about the event or anything like that. So hang on while we bring on another caller. Who are you? Where are you calling from? And welcome.
Hi, this is Ricardo Richard with Trenton Mates. How you doing? I'm doing good. I just wanted to call and say that I was enjoying the show from the stuff that I called in a little later, so that I was able to from the stuff that I was able to hear that I was enjoying the show, and you know
that's great. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, honey. When is your show?
I believe it's September the 16th, and I'm supposed to be interviewing Jerry, so I'm really excited about that. So,
stay
tuned.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. I love that.
I'm excited about Jerry. So, you guys stay tuned. But thank you, guys. Keep going.
Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks. All right. Before we get to find out a little info on Phyllis and how you may reach her, we're going to get to Ngozi time right now. It is your mother's and father's favorite producer, Brother O.
All right. The congratulations. This is Dr. Legit. Congratulations on your
Hi, honey.
With your second WBNN On Connection record, and that is with Darlene Lawrence Championship. Congrats. I truly enjoyed your night and your guest, Phyllis, from the ballet. And it was in the story you told on News Forum about her. And now I got to hear her tonight. And it's an honor to hear her story and just keep doing what you're doing, Phyllis. And when I was younger, I took ballet. There was a dance troupe, Alex Haley's dance troupe in Philadelphia, and they used to have classes at the Martin Luther King or at 22nd in Columbia, and they did ballet, jazz, tap, and improv. And I did the jazz, well, I did all of them, jazz, tap, and the ballet, and the improv, and I used to love it. And I'm actually now, I'm a choreographer, and I love dancing. Dancing is my singing is first, and then dancing. I love it all. So I am so glad of what I'm doing, and hopefully I may come to that show on September the 8th. And Ava, again, congratulations. All right. WBNN is a wonderful, wonderful network, and I'm just so proud of all the hosts that have called in tonight as well to support the show tonight. And hosts, please continue to do so. Continue to support each other because we are definitely a family. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com for our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milewe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to Ava Holly, and join us for Strictly Business with E. Davis tomorrow night right here on WBNN at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time and at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to you, Ava Holly.
Thank you, Dr. Chinchilla J. It threw me for a loop there. I didn't know you were coming on. What an honor and a pleasure. Dr. Chinchilla J has her show every Sunday night, and she tackles some tough issues, let me tell you. Yet if it wasn't for her and her show bringing awareness, you know, where would we be? We need to keep talking about things that are a little uncomfortable. So thank you so much for calling in and taking on Ngozi time for us, Miss Commissioner. So Phyllis, last thoughts on, tell us how we could reach you. If someone wanted to reach you, find you, talk about the ballet, talk about the event on September 18th. Make sure we got the date right. And how would someone get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch is AtlanticCityBallet@gmail.com. And then, they just send me an email and I'll get back in touch with them. They should leave, you know, either their phone number or an email, and we can communicate that way. That's probably the best way.
Okay, great.
So
awesome.
AtlanticCityBallet@gmail.com.
AtlanticCityBallet@gmail.com, correct?
Yes.
And we are speaking with the beautiful and talented Miss Phyllis Papa. I have to tell, if Dr. J is still listening, Dr. Chinchilla J. I love all forms of the arts, too, and I love dance. I love to dance whenever I can. I did study some ballet in college, some modern jazz, and I really enjoyed that time. So, you know, I have a connection there with you, Phyllis, and it's really wonderful to be connected like that. So, Brother O, are you coming on at all? Okay. So I guess we will continue to
talk. Well,
first of all,
I was not trying to come on. That's why I had my whole commissioner. But, of course, you know, since I was invited by Ava Holly, I'm so proud of you, Ava, because I'm going to talk to you, Phyllis Pop, in 1 second. But, Ava Holly, you have, you know, stood the course, you know, being a person that, you know, celebrates other shows and being available. And, you know, like Dr. J just said, all of our hosts, going back to the old school Beverly Nation way, right, we used to support each other every night. And it was a time when, back in the old days, Ava Holly, we had hosts doing shows every single week. Every week. There was no, you know, months on end, yada, yada, yada. No. We did shows every week. And we went to a point to where we were blessed to be able to do it, you know, 2 times a month. And now we get to the point where we're so spoiled that we do it every month. And we have 30 days in between. There is no excuses for incompetence when it comes down to supporting our hosts. And we just need to do a better job in that. And I think it's a great, great thing. And let us continue to be great on purpose and to do the job that, you know, that God allowed us to be available to do. Phyllis, I love you. First of all, you're very photogenic, beautiful picture that we used today.
Thank you.
You know, make sure that you like us, you know, on Facebook and Ola Dele Malewa Ngozi. And, of course, Ava Holly will allow you to do that. And being a person that, you know, hard work never hurt anybody. And so you talked about tonight, where you had no fees or a paycheck to do what you love. That's hard work. And a lot of times that's not lauded. That's not applauded. And I want to make sure that I do that right here on this international radio. Thank you so much for what you do on the constant basis for people to have an art and a gift to love and understand. And so I really appreciate you. So, of course, my commissioner already said, you know what needs to be said, but there's a lot of people like to hear my voice to say. All I want to say is good night and good luck to all the folks out there that listen to WBNN on a constant basis. And now back to Ava Holly. Let's wrap it up, baby.
All right. Thank you so much, Phyllis Papa, founder and artistic director of the Atlantic City Ballet, going into its 40th year. Phyllis, any final thoughts?
Well, I hope everybody comes out and see us because we need all of you.
Yeah, we got a lot of fixing up to do after the last 2 years, especially the last year. However, I'm very excited about the 40th year of the ballet in this iconic city of Atlantic City and that you have been here for 40 years, persevering and taking the ballet to new heights. So thank you, everybody, for calling in. Thank you for tuning in to the WBNN and Ngozi Time Multimedia. I'm Ava Holly. We will catch you in 4 weeks from tonight. This is the Casual Chat. Take care, everyone.